Rabbi Schneider is a voice crying out in our lost world, pointing mankind to Jesus today.
Shalom. I'm Cynthia, Rabbi Schneider's wife. Beloved, testimonies are coming in of God touching and transforming people's lives through this ministry. It's my prayer that today God will touch and transform your life as Rabbi Schneider teaches and preaches God's word.
God bless you and shalom, beloved ones. My name is Rabbi Schneider. Welcome today to this edition of Discovering the Jewish Jesus. Let's begin just by lifting our hearts to Father and to King Jesus in prayer. Father God, we love you today. Father God, we're so filled with joy just because of the knowledge of your love for us. Father, thank you for saving us. King Jesus, thank you for coming and dying for us. Thank you that we have a destiny and a future, and that as we give to you, that you give back to us. You told us, Lord Jesus, that if we ask, we receive. If we knock, that you open the doors. And if we draw near to you, Father God, that you would draw near to us. And so, Father God, it's with this faith and this expectation that we come to you today and ask you, Father, to move in our lives through this broadcast. King Jesus, you said in the Word of Scripture that it's through the foolishness of preaching that men are saved and transformed. So we're believing you as I deliver your Word today, Jesus, that you would change us, transform us, empower us, and bring us closer to yourself for your glory and your purpose. In your name we ask, Jesus. Amen and amen. Beloved ones, I'm excited today about the series that we're beginning. It's called According to His Will. You see, the Bible tells us in the book of 1 John that if we ask anything according to the Father's will, that He will hear us and answer us. But oftentimes, people struggle to know exactly what the will of God is. So what we're going to do during this series is we're going to look into the pages of Scripture from both the Old and New Testaments to look at prayers of men and women that really knew God. And we're going to see how God heard their prayers and answered them. And by examining the prayers, beloved, of the biblical heroes and the patriarchs of the faith, and see how their prayers move God's heart and how their prayers reflected God's nature and will, it's going to help us and teach us how to pray biblically. You see, whenever I pray according to Scripture, I have great confidence when I come to God. And the reason is because I know that I'm praying according to His will. And the Scripture says once again, if we pray anything according to His will, He hears us. So this is going to be an exciting and an important series. I think it's going to really breed confidence in many of our lives to pray with more passion, to pray with more expectation, to know that our prayers are being heard, and to know that God, hallelujah, is answering our prayers. So with that introduction, I want to take a few steps back, and I want to talk, first of all, about the origin of prayer. I want to bring up a couple Hebrew names for prayer, and then we're going to move forward to actually examine the prayers of the biblical patriarchs and heroes of our faith. The most common and traditional Hebrew word for prayer is the word tefillah, tefillah. And it has to do, beloved one, with putting oneself in proper alignment between themselves and God. In other words, tefillah, the Hebrew word for prayer, has much to do with putting ourselves in a right posture before a holy God. It has to do with knowing how to walk with Him in a way that He can bless us. For example, when you see the Orthodox Jewish people praying at the Western Wall in Jerusalem, you'll see them swaying oftentimes back and forth. The reason that they're swaying back and forth comes from a Hebrew word by the name of davening. And it has to do with the fact that Scripture teaches us that the Spirit of the Lord within man is like a flame within man. Let me read a couple scriptures that actually illustrate this for you. Proverbs number 27 says this, "The spirit of man is a candle of God." And so what are they doing? They're putting themselves in a proper posture because they're saying that the Spirit of God is alive, and if we're going to be in relationship to God's Spirit that's within us, we have to be moving because His Spirit is alive within us, and He's moving. And so it's an attempt to put oneself in a proper posture before a holy God. Another scripture that speaks to this point is from the book of Psalms, chapter number 35, verse 10. And we read there these words, all my bones will say, Lord, who is like you? And so both of these, beloved, are scriptures that speak of how we're seeing a man's heart in the Orthodox Jewish community wanting to place itself in a proper posture before God. And so tefillah, again, a common Hebrew word for prayer, carries with it the idea of placing oneself in the proper posture before a holy creator so that we can be in a proper relationship with him. The first mention of prayer in the Bible is found in the book of Genesis chapter 4. In Genesis chapter 4, we come to the place in Scripture. Remember, Adam and Eve had given birth to Cain and Abel, and Cain killed Abel. Adam and Eve obviously were so grieved about this, they looked to the Lord and they asked God, would you replace Abel for us? So they had relations again, and as a result of that, they gave birth to Seth. Seth then had a child, and Seth's child, his son was named Enosh. And so Enosh then was Adam and Eve's grandson. And at this event in Scripture, at this point in Scripture, we find prayer first being mentioned. Hear the Word of God now as I go to the pages of the biblical record and show you how this is the case. The book of Genesis, chapter 4, verse 25 and 26. Adam had relations with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth. For she said, God has appointed me another offspring in place of Abel, for Cain killed him. To Seth, to him also bore a son and was born, and he called his name Enosh. And get this now, then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. So it was at this time where Seth gave birth to Enosh that the Scripture says, then men began to call on the name of the Lord. This is where we find the concept of prayer first being described in the pages of Scripture, in the biblical record. Again, the point of our study, beloved ones, is to look at the hearts of men and women that were walking with God and seeing that the nature of their prayers was of such a relational perspective that God was in the prayers and that God was moved by their prayers. And this is very important because we don't want to be praying prayers that don't move God's heart. We don't want to be wasting time praying a bunch of things that are not really moving the heart of God. I remember many, many years ago, I used to go to prayer meetings at a church that I was attending, and they used to have a midweek prayer meeting. And the thing that seemed to be very shallow about it is that no one seemed to ever pray about the deeper issues. They were always praying about the surface things, things that are important, but at the end of the day, they weren't the deeper issues of life. For example, let me say again, I don't want to underestimate that all things are important to bring to God in prayer, but it seemed like every midweek prayer meeting, the saints there just kept praying about the same things, about, you know, somebody having an operation, about somebody having traveling mercies. But it was all based on circumstances rather than on the deeper heart issues. And they never got to the main things that Jesus is primarily concerned about. And so we're going to see as we study the hearts of those in Scripture. And in studying their heart, we examine their prayer life. It's going to help you and I get to a deeper level in our own prayers with God. We're going to get to another level of what the Bible calls deep, calling to deep. And as a result of that, our walk with Jesus is going to get deeper, and we're going to enter into a greater realm of walking with Him in what Jesus describes eternal life. Because Jesus defined eternal life in John 17 as knowing God. And the thing that we want more than anything else in our life is to know God. So let's begin then today by looking at some of the biblical records. I want to begin today by looking at Psalm number 51. Psalm number 51 was written by a man, beloved one, that God said was a man after His own heart. David, the Bible tells us in the book of Acts, chapter 13, Acts 13, verse 22, as well as 1 Samuel 13, 14, David was described as a man that was after God's own heart. God chose David because David was a man whose heart was in a proper posture before God. So it would do us well to look at David's prayer life, because this was a man that knew God. This was a man that God deeply loved. In fact, Jesus described himself at the end of the book of Revelation as the offspring of David. Jesus also described himself in the book of Revelation as the one who holds the key of David. And I believe the key of David is intimacy. So this is really critical that we would examine the prayer life of David, because he was a man that knew God. He was a man that was after God's own heart. God said about David, he is a man that is after my own heart. So we're going to examine his prayers, and we're going to see by examining his prayers and others in Scripture that oftentimes the things that we've been focusing on in prayer are not really the weightier matters. Just like Solomon. Remember, God said to Solomon, Solomon, ask me what you will. And Solomon didn't ask for riches, and he didn't concentrate on things in the circumstantial realm, but rather he said, Lord, give me wisdom to know your heart and to lead your people. And the Lord said, Solomon, because you asked me for this, and you didn't ask me for riches and superficial things, but because you asked me for something that deeply mattered, Solomon, I'm going to grant your request, and not only that, but I'm going to give you many other things as well. So you see that there are some prayers, beloved ones, that move the heart of God more than others. So with that said, I want to begin now by looking together with you at Psalm number 51. I'm going to be looking at select verses here. I want to begin in Psalm number 51 with verses number 1 and 2. Hear the word of God. Be gracious to me, O God, David is praying, according to your loving kindness. Notice this is a prayer. This psalm is recording David's prayer. So what does David say? Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. Just that one sentence all of a sudden helps us understand a lot. Number one, we can understand that we can ask God for grace. What is grace? Grace is favor. That we can ask God for His favor on our life. That we can be confident of God's, get this now, good will for us. That God has a good will for you. Many people don't believe that God really has a good will, a good purpose, a good objective for their life. They think that somehow God is withdrawn, or perhaps they think God is angry, or perhaps they picture God as stoic, or perhaps they picture God as someone that is judgmental. And oftentimes we get these wrong concepts from our earthly parents and from the social environment that we grew up with. But let's look what David said here. He said, be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. We gain insight here into the heart of God and how we can pray. What is God's disposition towards us? Listen, it's good. Remember, David said, your goodness and mercy in Psalm 23 is going to follow me all the days of my life. So David had confidence that God's purpose was to do him good. And if you and I are going to have a prayer life, beloved, that brings freedom into our life, a prayer life that brings us into a deep connection with God, we have to have confidence in who He is. David said, according to your loving kindness. God bless you, beloved ones. Thank you for watching Discovering the Jewish Jesus. I'm here in Nauru, Kenya, preaching the gospel.
The old town was stand still for the word of God. This is tiny in Africa for a rabbi. We saw how God used him. We saw his passion for Africa. People coming to Christ, many healings, people be delivered. When rabbi saying I am coming to Africa, we are excited. Please, rabbi, come again and again. We love you.
Beloved ones, I am so thankful to King Jesus and to you. for your financial support, for being able to preach his glorious gospel around the globe in crusades just like this. Thousands are being saved, delivered, healed, and it's only because of you. Beloved, where I go. You send me. Thank you for your financial support. And if you feel the Holy Spirit knocking on the door of your heart to give to this ministry, beloved one, just do it and do it now. You'll be blessed because Jesus always rewards those that are faithful to him. God bless you. Thank you very much and shalom.
Now back to today's program.
One of the most profound revelations, beloved ones, in Scripture of the nature of God is when Moses said to God, "Show me your glory." We're going to actually examine this prayer. And you know what God did? God said to Moses, "Moses, I can't show you all my glory. You can't see my face, but I'm going to speak my name to you and I'm going to bless you." And so with that, God begins to reveal himself to Moses. And the first thing that God tells Moses is that he's loving and compassionate. And so if we're going to walk with God, our confession, our prayer confession has to be in alignment with God's nature, because our life will never rise above our confession. So our prayer life, beloved, is a confession of who we believe God is. And when we begin to confess that God is good, that he's gracious, and that he has a heart of loving kindness towards us, it's going to bring us deeper into the realms of eternal life and deeper into a walk where we're experiencing him. If you think about this whole concept here, David said once again, Psalm 51:1, "Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness." Now think about this. Every letter that Paul wrote in the New Testament, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, all his letters begin the same way. Listen, grace to you. Isn't that what David just said? "Be gracious to me, O God." Every letter that Paul wrote begins this way. "Grace to you and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." And so God is not up in the sky with a bat, okay, waiting to judge us. He's not up there, you know, all angry with us. He sent his son on the cross. They ripped out Jesus's beard. They whipped his back. They tore out his hair. They put the spear in his side. They nailed his hands and feet. God's anger for your sin was already taken out on the beloved Lord Jesus. God is simply asking you now to come boldly before the throne of grace and to have confidence in his love for you. And so the first lesson that we've learned today through the prayer of David is that when we come to God, we need to be confident that he loves us. The Lord said, "Come boldly before the throne of grace." So Father God, we thank you right now that your heart towards us is to bless us. Father, that your desire is to be gracious to us, to show us your favor, according, David said, to your loving kindness. Notice David said, Psalm 51:1, "Be gracious to me, O God, according to your," listen now, "loving kindness." Listen again. "Be gracious to me, O God." Now here at church, "according to your loving kindness." According to your loving kindness. According to your loving kindness. God loves you. And God loves me. And yet there's a block oftentimes in our lives from really believing that God loves us. Do you know, I've read stories of men and women of God that have impacted the world so much with the gospel, and they've been used so mightily in the kingdom. And yet at the end of their lives, some of these servants of the Lord weren't fully convinced that God loves them. But I'd rather know that the Father loves me. I'd rather know that Jesus loves me than to have the greatest impact on earth as a preacher. I mean, I want to have great impact on earth. But if I had to make a choice between having great impact on the earth as a preacher versus simply knowing that God loves me, you know what? I would choose to simply know that God loves me if I had very little impact in the world as a preacher. Because that's the only thing that satisfies. Satisfaction only comes from relationship. Again, Jesus said eternal life is to know him. So the only way that you and I are going to be satisfied, it's not to become, you know, great preachers, great teachers, great business people, whatever it is that you think is going to make you somebody in the world's eyes. No, the way to find satisfaction, beloved one, is to know that God loves you and He loves me. And so David had this confidence, Lord, show me grace according to your loving kindness. I want you to know that God loves you. His purpose for creating you, beloved, was to have a relationship with you. He sent His Son to die for you because He loves you. And when Jesus died for you, He didn't just die to save you from hell. He didn't just die to forgive you of your sins. He died to marry you. You see, the Bible ends with what the Scripture calls the marriage supper of the Lamb in Revelation chapter 19. We're called the bride of Christ. God loves you, and He loves me. He loves you specifically. He loves you uniquely. It's not just that Jesus died for the world, but rather that He died for you. Jesus said, I chose you out of the world. Father, we thank you today that you love us. Father, we thank you. Even as we begin to study the prayer language of the biblical heroes of faith, the first thing that we learn, Lord, is that your desire is to be gracious to us, to show us favor, because you love us. David continues, we're going to see next week, in verse 2 of Psalm number 51, by asking God to wash him. He says, Lord, wash me thoroughly. And beloved, I want to end today by asking God to wash us, even of wrong thoughts about His love. Father God, thank you today for revelation. Thank you, Father God, for your goodness. We ask you to wash us of everything in us that's preventing us from realizing how much you love us. Let's just take a moment and wait on God. Father God, thank you for the supernatural washing of the Holy Spirit. I want to close today by reading verse number 2 to you of Psalm number 51. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Father God, I want to thank you today that there is a supernatural transformation that's taking place in each one of our lives right now. That, Father, you're washing us of wrong concepts of you. And, Father, even washing us from the sin of not believing in your love for us. Father, we reject Satan and his lies right now, and we take a stand with Jesus and His Word. Father, that you love us and that you proved it to us by sending your Son. So, Father, we thank you for your love today. We thank you for washing us. Thank you so much, Father. I love you. Amen. God bless you, beloved ones. My name's Rabbi Schneider. Welcome today to this edition of Discovering the Jewish Jesus. I'm excited about this series that we're in right now. It's called According to His Will. This is the second part of the series. The reason that I'm so excited about this series is because I know in my prayer life with God, I have confidence when I'm praying, when I know that I'm praying according to His will. And how do I know if I'm praying according to His will? When my prayers, beloved ones, listen now, are lining up with Scripture. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, these words. This is the confidence we have before Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Let me say it again. 1 John 5, 14. This is the confidence we have before Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So whenever I'm praying, I'm always monitoring my heart and my prayers to make sure that they're aligning with truth. And how do I know truth? The Bible tells me. A lot of times people will come and ask me to pray for them about things. And a lot of times I find that people, other people, when they're asked to pray, they just pray what's going to make the person that has asked them for prayer feel good. But those types of prayers don't always move the heart of God, because if somebody, for example, that's not living for God, that's living in outright rebellion, that has not in any way brought themselves under the subjection of Jesus Christ, comes up to you and asks you to pray for, you know, all these different things in their life that they want blessed, you can't just ask God to bless them and bless them and bless them unless they first, beloved, come to a place of repentance. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus said, unless you repent, you'll perish. So we have to figure out when we have requests like this, how we can pray in such a way that, first of all, is pleasing to the Lord and aligns with truth. What I do in that situation, oftentimes I'll say, okay, Lord, how can I pray about this in a way that, first of all, pleases you? And then remember, the Bible says, Jesus said that God causes his sun, meaning the sunshine, to fall on the good and the bad alike. So I say, okay, Lord, this person that's in front of me asking me for prayer, they may not be living for you fully yet, but you're such a good God that you can bless anybody. So I'll say, Lord, your word says that you cause the sun to shine on the good and bad alike. And so I ask you to bless so-and-so. And then what I'll do is I'll also weave into the prayer a call that God would move in so-and-so's life and bring them into a deep relationship with God and that their life would be transformed. But I'm always monitoring my prayer life, whether it's praying for myself or praying for others, to make sure, beloved ones, that the prayers that I'm praying are according to truth and line up with the Word of God. Because if we're just praying about things that we want for ourselves or other people that don't align with truth, then we can't really have confidence that those prayers are going to be answered. But the Bible says if we pray anything according to His will, we know that He'll hear us and that He'll answer. So once again, this is the second part of the series. Last week I talked about some basic concepts. I brought up, for example, that the most common traditional Jewish word for prayer is the word tefillah. It has to do with putting ourselves in a proper relationship with God as we lift our heart and voice to Him. And that's what I was kind of just describing. When I'm in a situation where people are asking me to pray for something, I'm not just going to pray in a way that makes them feel good. But I'm going to first of all pray in a way that I feel like my heart is aligned with truth. See, the problem is, some of us, getting back to that point, is we act like we're praying. Let's say that, for example, somebody asks us to pray for them and we begin to start praying for them. A lot of times what's happening is that the prayers that are being prayed are not really being prayed to God, but they're actually being prayed to make the person that you're praying for feel good. In other words, someone says, well, you know, would you ask God to bless me in this, or would you ask God to do this for me? And the person that's praying for them sometimes isn't, first of all, thinking about God when they're praying, but rather they're thinking about what words can they say that will make the person that just asked them to pray feel good. What words can they say, they're asking themselves, that will comfort this person? That isn't really prayer, because it's not really being directed to God. It looks like it's being directed to God. The person's eyes might be closed. They might act like they're praying, but it's not really prayer, because truly the focus of their heart is on just speaking words of pleasantries that will make the person feel good. So we're looking at biblical prayers, prayers that are founded in truth, prayers that are concerned with having right posture before God, that they're really prayers. Again, the Hebrew word for prayer, tefillah, has to do with putting ourselves in the right posture before our Holy Father, that God's not going to honor prayers that look pious but really aren't directed to Him. We find in, for example, when we see pictures of people, Orthodox Jewish people at the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall in Jerusalem, a lot of times you'll see them kind of moving their body like this. That's called davening. And again, it's an attempt to put oneself in the right posture before God, because the Scripture tells us in the book of Proverbs that the Spirit of the Lord within man is like a candle or like a flame. And so the concept is, you know, God's Spirit's in me, He's alive, He's like a flame, and so I'm going to reflect that my whole body, all my bones will reflect that. Again, it's an attempt to put oneself in a proper posture before a holy God, because unless we have a right posture before Him with our heart and our words, the prayer isn't really effective. It's not deep calling to deep. We're not really connecting to the divine and to the holy in a way that is going to move Him and availeth much. When we see these Orthodox Jewish people at the Western Wall going like this, again called davening, the word davening has to do with intention. So the focus is that when we're going like this, the Spirit of the Lord within man is like a flame and it causes all our bones to move. What is taking place there, as well as putting ourselves in the right posture, it's putting ourselves in the right focus. And so another concept in traditional Judaism that's associated with prayer is this concept of davening, and it comes from the thought of being focused on God and putting all our, get it now, intention into Him and on Him. Again, it's the exact opposite of just acting like we're praying when really we're not really praying to God, we're just looking like we're praying to God. When we daven, we're actually putting all our focus and we're meditating and thinking on God. We're putting all of our energy into Him. And so, reviewing then, putting ourselves in a proper posture of prayer has to do with having a heart that's rightly aligned to Him in the right posture and focusing on Him when we're praying. Now, last week, by way of review, and then we're going to get back into where we were and move forward, I talked about the first example of prayer in the Hebrew Bible. It's in the book of Genesis that we call in Hebrew Bereshit. And in Genesis chapter 4, verse 25 and 26, the episode that we've come to in the biblical narrative is that Adam and Eve's son, Cain, killed his brother, Abel. And so Adam and Eve had lost their son, Abel. So they conceived again in an effort to replace Abel, and Eve gave birth to Seth. And then Seth had a son, and Seth's son's name was Enosh. So Enosh then was Adam and Eve's grandchild. And at this time, the Bible says, I'm going to read it for you now in the book of Genesis, chapter 4, 25 and 26, it says that at this time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. This is just really interesting to see the first mention of prayer in Scripture. Verse 25, Adam had relations with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth. For she said, God has appointed me another offspring in place of Abel, for Cain killed him. To Seth, to him also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. Now get it. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. I just love that knowledge. Wow, this is the first place in the Bible we read about men beginning to call upon the name of the Lord. So we are going to study now in the biblical narrative the prayers of men and women that had a deep walk with God. Through this, we can learn how to pray in such a way that matters. Deep calling to deep, not praying about superficial things. You know, there was a song years ago, it was kind of a comical song, but you know, kind of sacrilegious, and it was about this guy that was praying for the Lord to buy him I'm just going to be a little funny. Can I be a little funny with you? Here, the song went something like this. It says, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? And it goes on, my friends all have Porsches. And I could go on, but I won't, because I don't want to take away from our point here. But the reason I did that is because some people are praying for things that don't move God. Some people are praying for things that are not the things that God's concerned about. And so we want to study the prayer life of people that had a deep walk with God, because by doing this, it'll help us to learn how to pray in such a way that we can move God's heart. God bless you, beloved ones. Thank you for watching Discovering the Jewish Jesus. I'm here in Nauru, Kenya, preaching the gospel.
The old town was standstill for the word of God. This is tiny in Africa for a rabbi. We saw how God used him. We saw his passion for Africa. People coming to Christ, many healings, people be delivered. When rabbi saying are coming to Africa, we are excited. Please, rabbi, come again and again. We love you and we love your ministry.
Beloved ones, I am so thankful to King Jesus and to you for your financial support, for being able to preach his glorious gospel around the globe in crusades just like this. Thousands are being saved, delivered, healed, and it's only because of you. Beloved, where I go, you go. You send me. thank you for your financial support. And if you feel the Holy Spirit knocking on the door of your heart to give to this ministry, beloved one, just do it and do it now. You'll be blessed because Jesus always rewards those that are faithful to him. God bless you. Thank you very much and shalom.
Now back to today's program.
1 John 5:14 again says this. This is the confidence we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And knowing, beloved ones, that he hears us, we also have confidence that he will grant those requests. We looked last week at Psalm number 51, and we're going to continue in Psalm number 51 today. Psalm 51 was written by David. Now, the Bible tells us in Acts 13 that David was a man who was after God's own heart. God said in the book of Samuel concerning David that David was a man after his own heart. Remember when Samuel was going to anoint Jesse's sons, one of them to be the king, and you know he kept going from the oldest to the youngest, and then Samuel was like, well, why did you anoint David? I mean, he's just a shepherd boy. What do you see in him? And remember what God said to Samuel. God said, man looketh on the outside, but God looketh on the heart. So God saw something in David's heart. Of course, I want to say that God's the one that made David the way that he was. But David's heart was pure before the Lord. That's why Jesus said in Revelation he was the offspring of David. And so this is important to study David's prayer life, because this is the prayer life of someone that knew God. And so by seeing how he related to God, and by examining how he petitioned God, it's going to help us to know what's important to God, what we should be focusing on. And again, beloved one, when we're praying according to his will, we know that he hears us and he's going to grant us our desires. And so last week we began in verse number 1. And in verse number 1, David said, be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. I'm not going to review because I took all of last week's episode. I really want to encourage you to get this entire series. You can get last week's episode if you missed it and any other episodes. The contact information to get to this series will be at the end of the broadcast today. We looked last week, Psalm 51:1. David said, be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. And I talked about just knowing God's disposition towards you. He desires to be favorable to you because he loves you. Get last week's message. I want to continue today. In verse number 2, David said this, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Let's continue with verse number 6. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. I want to focus on this deep longing in David to be washed of his sin. Wash me, he said, and I shall be clean. Wash me with hyssop. Beloved ones, if we're not washed inside, get this now, if we're not cleansed on the inside, get this now, we can't know God. The Bible says, who shall ascend to the house of the Lord but he that has clean hands and a pure heart? In other words, what God is saying here is that we can't walk in fellowship with him unless we have clean hands and a pure heart. In other words, unless our nature is purified, we can't walk with God. It's called the law of similarity, that the more we become like Jesus, the more that we're washed on the inside. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in spirit, for they shall see God. The more we're washed and cleansed and purified on the inside, the more we are connected to Jesus. You see, we need to know a Jesus that is not just far away somewhere up there in the sky at the right hand of God, which he is. But we need to know a Jesus that's here, that's now, that's in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so we're not going to know him in us, we're not going to know him with us the way that will bring us into deep satisfaction, get it now, beloved one, unless we're washed on the inside. This is so important. To be forgiven takes place in an instant. The instant we receive Jesus, were legally forgiven. But to be washed is a process. The Bible says, be transformed. It's a process, cleansing old ways of thinking, old ways of relating. Let me read that again for you. Wash me thoroughly, David said, for my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Continuing on, behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy. And so, again, this is a prayer that we should constantly be lifting up to the Lord. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. Let's just pray to the Lord right now through that song that we used to sing. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. This is deep calling to deep, because as we're washed and cleansed, and as His clean heart is created within us, we're brought into deep intimacy with Jesus. And deep intimacy with Jesus is the thing that will satisfy us. The things on the outside, although they're blessings, they can never satisfy. You see, Jesus said, beloved one, life consisteth not in the abundance of things. The only thing that will bring us satisfaction is when we become like Jesus, because then we'll know Him. Again, eternal life is about relationship. And so when we look at this man of God's heart, when we look at David's heart, first of all, we find he has confidence in who God is, that God has a good will for him, that God desires to bless him. Remember, the Lord said, I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. Plans to bless you and to give you a future and a hope. So David knew God in this way. He knew that this was who God was. He didn't think that God was far away, but he thought that Lord was kind towards him. And so he said, Lord, be gracious to me according to your loving kindness. And then he began to pour out his heart. He said, Lord, create in me a clean heart. He said, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me. Cleanse me. And one of the ways, beloved ones, that God cleanses us is when we're willing to allow Him to cleanse us. In other words, we have to cooperate with God's sanctifying process. We have to become aware, get it now, of what we're thinking and what we're saying, and be in a constant state of examining ourselves. You see, we have a choice as to whether we're going to put ourselves in God's beam of light upon our lives. Many people are running from the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and the Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. And so it's the conviction of the Holy Spirit that is God's kindness to cause us to become aware of our sin so we can look up to Him and say, have mercy, O God, and wash me and cleanse me and give me a clean heart, God. I see that this evil is in my heart. I see this selfish ambition in my heart. I see this pride in my heart. I see this jealousy in my heart. Oh, God, I know what's wrong. Forgive me, wash me, cleanse me. And when we put ourselves in this posture, the Bible says, He's faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So David said, cleanse me, but we also have to realize that to be cleansed has to do with our cooperating with the Holy Spirit. David said, cleanse me, but the Bible also says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. So this should be a deep longing of our heart. I'm telling you, beloved, the truths that I'm speaking to you of, these are realities that are matters of eternal life. These truths will change you. This type of focus in your prayer life will bring about transformation. It will bring you into deep waters in your walk with God in terms of knowing Jesus and the river of living water that'll come forth from your life as you're walking in a state, beloved, of being cleansed and purified. The next verse in the psalm we're going to look at after David asked God to cleanse him was, he says, and joy is going to break forth in me. You see, as we long and hunger for God, as we cooperate with Him and ask Him to cleanse us, As we willingly repent, you know what happens? Joy breaks forth in us. Jesus' goodness is released from an innermost being. The Bible said a river of living water will spring forth from an innermost being. Beloved one, I'm telling you the truth. I want to be a blessing to you. And that which I'm sharing with your heart today, if you'll meditate on it and put it into practice in your life, God is going to change you and He's going to transform you. Everything that we pray about is important, but let's not focus on the superficial things. Let's focus on the deepest things. The deepest things, beloved, have to do with matters of the heart. Father, we love you today, and we thank you today for all that you're doing. Wash us and cleanse us of our sin, that we might walk with you in joy. Amen. God bless you and shalom, beloved ones. My name's Rabbi Schneider. Welcome today to this edition of Discovering the Jewish Jesus. This is the third part of a series I'm calling According to His Will. We're talking about prayers that move the heart of God. And 1 John 5:24 tells us, if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us and that we'll have the answers to our prayer. And so we've been talking about how can we pray according to the will of God. I know that whenever I pray for myself or other people, I want to examine my heart and my words according to Scripture. I want to pray according to the truth, because the truth is what sets us free. And when our prayers line up with the Bible, then we know that the prayers that we're praying are biblical, that God hears them, that we're praying according to His will, and we can have the confidence that He's going to answer. The way that I have confidence in the fact that God's going to answer my prayers is when I know I'm praying according to His will. And once again, how do you know if you're praying according to His will? If you're praying according to His word. Jesus said, the words that I speak are spirit and are life. His word is truth. So if we're going to have confidence in our prayer life, we need to know that we're praying biblically. We need to know that we're praying according to the truth. And we need to know that we're praying according to His will. And we know that we're going to have expectation when we pray, knowing that the prayers that we're asking, the requests that are being made, are going to come to pass. God is going to answer these prayers. And so we've been approaching this subject by examining the prayer life of biblical heroes of the faith, the men and women that are written about in the pages of Scripture that walked with God. We see how God cared for them, how God answered their prayers. And by knowing that our prayers are similar, that the heart that we have is similar to the heart of these in Scripture that God showed such favor to, we can have confidence then, beloved ones, that we're praying again according to His will and that He's going to answer. We began several weeks ago, this is again now the third part in the series, and I encourage you to get the entire series. It's online or you can purchase it through the contact information here at the end of our broadcast today. I want to get you the entire series because it'll really help you. We began by looking at David. David is a man, the Lord said, was after His own heart. David was a man that had the heart of God. Jesus said that he was the offspring of David. So we began several weeks ago by looking at Psalm 51. We looked at the fact that God is gracious in nature. That helps us to approach Him when we know that He loves us and He wants to do us good. We looked last week, as we continued in Psalm 51, that David called out to God for God to cleanse him. I want to pick up there. I'm going to move forward today, but I just want to pick up to put us in a frame of reference. David said in Psalm 51:2, he said, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." He said, "Purify me," in verse 7, "with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow." Do you know one of the deepest longings of our heart should be, get this now, listen to me, restoration to innocence. To bring us back, beloved, to a state of the innocency we enjoyed when we were children. You know, we move through life, and as we age and move through life, the world has an effect on us. The things that come into us because of the defiled world that we live in. Even the prophet Isaiah, when God appeared to Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, the Bible says Isaiah fell on his face and he said, "Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst a people of unclean lips. Jesus said, get this now, that the things that defile us are the words that come out of our mouth. When the Pharisees began to question Jesus as to why his disciples washed with unwashed hands, Jesus said, eating food with hands that are unwashed does not defile a man. But what defiles a man are the evil words that come out of his mouth. David recognized that he needed to be washed and needed to be cleansed. And no doubt he realized that one of the main things that had defiled him were the words that had come out of his mouth. Of course, we know the sin that he committed with Bathsheba, and David was calling out for restoration and from cleansing from this sin. But I want you to know that all of us need to be washed and cleansed. And one of the main things, beloved, that has defiled us are the words that we've spoken throughout our life and the words that we've heard the world around us saying. Even as Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst a people of unclean lips. And he looked to the Lord to wash him and cleanse him. The Lord graciously responded to Isaiah's plea when an angel came and touched his mouth and cleansed him, and Isaiah's iniquity was taken away. You and I, in order to have peace in our hearts, in order to have restoration, in order for us to walk with God with a spirit of joy, we need to be washed and cleansed and transformed. David, who was a man after God's own heart, he realized this. And so he said, wash me and cleanse me. He said, wash me with hyssop. And I don't know about you, but I know that one of the deepest needs that I have in my life is to be restored to innocency. Now, all of us, the Bible said, were even born into sin. So we were never completely innocent. But when we were children, most of us, if we didn't, you know, come from a real broken background, as children, we were much more innocent than we are as adults, and we need to be washed and restored to that place of innocency. And you know what? God's supernatural, transforming spirit will do that. The Bible says that we are washed in Titus 3:5, not by the deeds that we do, but by the washing, regenerating power of the Holy Spirit. In Titus 3:5, we read, not according to deeds of righteousness which we have done, but according to the washing, regenerating power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray a supernatural prayer over our lives right now. I'm going to believe that as I pray, God is going to supernaturally wash us. We're going to call out now, beloved one, to the Lord. We're going to call out to God supernaturally, with the same heart's desire that David said when David cried out to God, Lord, wash me and cleanse me. Create in me a clean heart. Wash me with hyssop, and I shall be whiter than snow. Father God, right now, I want to thank you that you love us. I want to thank you that you sent Jesus into the world because you love us. Father God, that you desire for us to be restored. Father, that you have made a way for us to be washed. Father, your word says that through the blood of Jesus, and through your word, and through the supernatural transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that we are washed and conformed to your image. Father God, right now, I reach out to you with my heart today on behalf of myself and on behalf of these beloved ones of yours that are watching, that desire, Father, to be washed, that desire to be returned to infancy, to innocence again. Father, I'm speaking now over the women, Father God, that feel they've been defiled because of the illicit sexual relationships that they've engaged in throughout their life. Father, I want to thank you that through Jesus, through his blood, through your word and transforming power, they can be restored to a place of innocency and virginity in the Spirit. Father God, I ask you to wash them right now. These beloved brides of yours, Father God, that were defiled by their choices and by the world, Father God, right now I want to thank you for the provision that you have made to restore them to your virgin brides. Father, I ask you to wash them right now by your word and by your Spirit, and to restore each one that's crying out to you right now for restoration, Father, to restore them to innocency and to the virginity in their spirit. Father, I pray for the men out there. Father God, the words that we've spoken that have defiled us. Father, the egos, the machoism. Father, the things that we've said that are critical of other people. the judgments, the accusations that have come forth from our mouth. Father, I ask you to forgive us through the blood of Jesus and wash us, Father God. As David prayed, Father, we ask you to wash us with hyssop and make us whiter than snow. Holy Spirit, I ask you to wash us now through the regenerating power that is in you. Thank you, Father God, for your supernatural transforming power. Thank you, Father God, that we're being recreated, that old things are passing away, and behold, all things are becoming new in the love of God. Father, we call out to you today like David. Father, wash us and create within us a new heart. Father God, that our joy would spring forth and that we would, Father, rise up as eagles with wings. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you, beloved ones. Thank you for watching Discovering the Jewish Jesus. I'm here in Nauru, Kenya, preaching the gospel.
The old town was standstill for the word of God. This is tiny in Africa for Rabbi. We saw how God used him. We saw his passion for Africa. People coming to Christ, many healings, people be delivered. When Rabbi saying are coming to Africa, we are excited. Please, Rabbi, come again and again. We love you and we love your ministry.
Beloved ones, I am so thankful to King Jesus and to you for your financial support, for being able to preach his glorious gospel around the globe in crusades just like this. Thousands are being saved, delivered, healed, and it's only because of you. Beloved, where I go. You send me. Thank you for your financial support. And if you
Here's
feel the Holy Spirit knocking on the door of your heart
Haiti.
To give to this
Here's
ministry, beloved one, just do it
Haiti.
And do it now.
Here's a video
You'll be
from
blessed
Rabbi's
because
recent
Jesus
crusade
always
in
Haiti. Rewards those that are faithful to him. God
now
bless
back
you.
To today's program.
Thank you very much.
Now
and
back
shalom.
To today's program. Now back to today's program.
This is so critical, beloved ones, to be washed, to be regenerated, to be renewed. And when we look at this man of God, when we look at David, we see, beloved, that this is of the essence. Let me read it again before we move on. David said, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." And then he said, "Behold you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make known wisdom." Let's think about David's cry to God, that David is actually asking God to examine him. Did you know that David said to the Lord, "Lord, examine me, examine my innermost being." David wanted God to remove all iniquity from his life, and he placed himself in a position before God and before the Holy Spirit that God would examine him to see if there would be any impure way in him. David said, "Know me and examine me. Look into my inner part and see if there be any impure way in me." And David said, "Lord, if there is, forgive me and wash it." See, my heart, beloved, is communicating to you the deepest issues of our need in our walk with God. Let's read that again. "Behold," David said to the Lord, "you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you'll make known to me wisdom. Purify me with hyssop." Do you know that God knows everything in your heart and in my heart? That he knows every word that you've ever said, all the critical words, all the judgmental words, all the cruel words, all the mean words, all the evil words that defile us. And you know what? When we speak words like this, we speak them because of an evil heart. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the man speaks. You need to be cleansed. You and I are defiled. We need to be getting down on our knees and say like David, "Wash me and cleanse me, God. For you desire truth in the innermost being." This is not a small matter. We cannot walk with God, beloved one, unless we're walking in truth. And we can sit in all the church services we want to, but if we're leaving the services and we're speaking words of criticism, words of cruelty, words of accusation against other people, These things defile us, and our religion means nothing. Lord, we ask you to wash us and forgive us, even as Isaiah called out to you and he said, "Woe is me, for I am a man of impure words, and I live amongst a people of unclean lips." And now as he called out to God and admitted his guilt, God cleansed him and washed him and released him from the guilt. Beloved, you and I need to be released from all the evil words that we've spoken because of an evil heart. David said, God looks in the innermost being. And you know what? If you and I want to walk with God, we've got to guard our mouths and guard our hearts. Again, I quoted on an earlier broadcast, who shall ascend to the house of the Lord? Who shall ascend to the mount of God? In other words, how can we walk with God? How can we live in His presence? How can we enjoy His fellowship? How can we experience the fullness of a blessing? And then the scripture writer says, he that has clean hands, that speaks of our actions, including our words, and he said, and a pure heart. If you and I want to truly walk with God and experience the joys that Christianity promises, we need to be cleansed, beloved, of defiled words, and we need to be cleansed of an evil heart that causes these defiled words to go forth. See, the Bible says the Word of God is living and active, and it judges the thoughts and intentions of men. God's Word sees us. He sees our intentions. He sees our words. He hears, beloved, the evil things that come out of our mouth about other people. We criticize our pastors, our friends, our government leaders. It's because of an evil heart. And the Bible says the Word of God is not only living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, judging the thoughts and intentions of men, but it cuts so deep that it even separates the soul from the spirit. David realized that God is searching the inward parts, and David knew that he couldn't walk with God unless he was cleansed on the inside out, even as Isaiah realized that because of the evil words that he had spoken, he needed to be cleansed so that his sin could be taken away, so that he could be in right standing before a holy God. Do you know that Jesus said, every idle word that you and I speak, we're going to be judged for? Yes. You need to be cleansed of your sin. You need to be washed. You need to experience forgiveness and make a covenant with God to stop speaking evil that's defiling your inner nature. Even as David recognized that he needed to be restored and he needed a clean heart to be created within him. So I want to ask you today, will you make a covenant before God with me today to stop speaking evil? You can speak words of destruction or you can speak words that heal. You can speak words that give life, or you can speak words that tear somebody else down. Every word that comes out of your mouth is either from the inspiration of the Holy Spirit or it's not. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and our salvation experience will never rise above what's coming out of the confession of our mouth. You and I have been grossly unaligned in the confession of our mouth. We have not been walking with God, beloved, many of us, in what we're saying. And I want to ask you today, as we're looking at this prayer of David and how he desired so much to be cleansed on the inside and how Jesus said we can determine whether our insides are pure or not by what we're saying from our mouth, because Jesus said it's out of the abundance of the mouth that the man speaks. And when a man speaks words of defilement, it defiles the entire man. And there's not one of us that's not guilty right now of speaking defiled words, and there's not one of us that doesn't need to be cleansed. Even the prophet Isaiah himself in Isaiah 6, when he saw the Lord, said, "Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips." So I want to ask you, would you get serious with God right now? Would you enter into a covenant with Him right now and with me? That we're going to watch what comes out of our mouth and we're going to guard our hearts. Whenever a spirit of accusation, whenever a spirit of criticalness, whenever a spirit of hostility, of hatred, of anger, of lust comes into our heart, beloved, we resist it. We reject it. We say, "Get behind me, Satan." We can't always control every thought that comes into our mind or every impulse that strikes our heart. But what we can control is what we're going to do with those impulses and those thoughts. We can either let them lodge and get in, or we can say, "Get behind me, Satan. Get out of my head." If we're going to go deep with God, if we're going to run the race, We're going to have to walk in such a way, beloved, that our words line up with the Spirit of God. So, Father, right now I ask you to cleanse us from defilement that has resulted from the words that we spoke with our mouth. And here's the covenant I want to ask you today to enter into with God. Would you be willing to say to him, beginning today, by your grace, I'm going to let no unwholesome word proceed from my mouth? Would you say, Jesus, right now I recognize how serious of a matter this is, and I've been reckless and careless with the words that have been coming out of my mouth. I've been speaking words that have defiled others, and I've been speaking words that have defiled me. I haven't spoken those words that build up, those things that encourage, but I've been speaking words of criticism and negativity. And just beginning right now, I recognize how defiling these words are, and by your grace, I'm making a covenant with you that I'm going to guard my heart and let no unwholesome word proceed from my mouth. Would you make that covenant with God today? We need to be serious about this, beloved. We're going to stand before the throne of Jesus. And he said, we're going to give an account for every word that we speak. Lord Jesus, right now, we ask you to forgive us. We ask you to forgive us, even as David prayed. Father, we ask you to forgive us for all the unwholesome words that have proceeded out of our mouth. And we ask you to be gracious to us, Lord, just like David prayed in Psalm 51:1, that you would be gracious to us, that you would give us unmerited favor, that you would forgive us, Lord, for this. And that, Father God, by your grace, right now, that we receive the power to guard our lips and to stop this pattern of speaking words of negativity, of violence, of criticism and accusation. Father, we make a covenant with you right now, beginning today, beginning right now at this broadcast, this second, we make a covenant with you that by your grace, we will let no unpleasant words come forth from our mouth. No words of accusation, no words of criticism, no words of hatred, no words of lust, no words that tear down other people. Father, we covenant with you right now in Jesus that from now on, we're going to speak words that give life. We're going to speak words that heal. We're going to speak words that express our thanksgiving to you. We're going to speak words of faith. We're going to speak words of hope. Father God, we love you and we thank you for the Psalm of David. And Father, we believe you're going to do for us right now, and you are doing for us right now what you did for him, that you're being gracious to us, that you're forgiving us, and Father God, that you're washing us and restoring us. Father, I want to thank you today for your mercy in my life. I love you. We love you. God bless you, beloved ones. Shalom.